Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.
You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. I originally had planned, and will continue with that plan, to go over Donald Trump's speech on Obamacare that he gave. But as I was entering the studio, I always double-check for any last-minute information. And there is a breaking news story that really adds additional information to what I was talking about yesterday. You know, what bombshell information is going to be released? Well, apparently that story is breaking. Fox Bret Baier broke it on the Fox News, as well as on the Brett Hume show. So I'll talk about that tomorrow. I really want to have time to digest it. But apparently that the FBI is conducting not one, but two extensive investigations into the Clinton. And the second one is focusing on the Clinton Foundation. They've been doing this for over a year in several offices. So it looks like people are going to be indicted. And when that happens, you're trying to flip people that are close to the principal, where the principal is Hillary Clinton as well as Bill Clinton. And that will, as far as I'm concerned, sink the candidacy of the Clipper, the corrupt, lying, incompetent, progressive politician, eugenics racist Hillary Clinton. This is a deadly, deadly breaking news story. And I think what we'll see in Thursday, Friday, Saturday polls as they appear is Donald Trump not only will be tying in many states, will pull ahead in many states. I still think Donald Trump will win the popular vote. It's still somewhat, at this point, it's too close to call. And up until really today, I didn't think it looked like Clinton had the inside track on this. Would definitely get to 270 and probably get somewhere between 270 and 300. But because of this, definitely, in my mind, a bombshell breaking news story, and other news agencies are going to have to, you can't ignore this. This is a story that means all the networks have to cover it. Now, they don't want to cover it, and they'll try to minimize it. But between the news and whether it's television or print, I think this will sink the candidacy of the Clipper. I think she's going down, and pretty soon. Now, the rats, they're not going to leave the ship until after Election Day. But then it's going to be abandoned ship, every man for himself, because if Clinton loses, which means Donald Trump wins, he's already made clear he will instruct his attorney general to have an independent prosecutor appointed, and will take the investigation not only to the Clintons, but also to the Justice Department, because apparently several officials, including the Attorney General and political appointees under her, were engaged in obstruction of justice and trying to kill these investigations. It's a big scandal, and I think it will be taken into the White House through Valerie Jarrett and ultimately to Barack Obama. This is probably, well, it's due. It's overdue. That's what happens when you have a person of low integrity, low character, in essence a crook, both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. They knew what they were doing. What they were doing, with the reason she set up that server was to cover her criminal activities. She didn't want it subject to the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA requests from the press, and that's the standard situation if you use government servers on your email. Not all, but a lot of your activities are subject to requests by the press for information. And that's one reason she did it. But the main reason was to cover what she was doing, namely selling access to her when she was in office and making sure that Bill Clinton and her were enriched. Ladies and gentlemen, that is public corruption. That is a serious charge, and I think it will eventually, not before the election. None of this is going to be brought out in detail before the election. But after the election, next year, yes, it will. And I'm glad to see people in the FBI trying to recover their tarnish image as a result of what happened last July. So I just want to alert you, tomorrow I will focus in on this completely, and I'll even have more to say on my Friday show. But today, what I wanted to do is point out that Donald Trump made a significant speech on Obamacare. And I think that, together with his speeches that he has been giving across the country, what do I think is happening? You have what I would call Reagan Democrats and Reagan Republicans, together with their children and grandchildren, because remember, Reagan was president 1980 to 1988. So it's really the children and the grandchildren, as well as their parents, to the extent that they're still alive, many of them pass away, but many of them are, that I think are coming home for Trump. And they're looking for what? They're looking for jobs. Jobs is issue number one in a growing economy. And they're looking for a new direction because they don't want another 4 or 8 years of Hillary Clinton on top of Obama because he failed to deliver the goods. So you can fool the people, some of the people all the time, but you're not going to fool all the people all the time. And I think this is encouraging because I think you're seeing right now a surge in the polls that will be a surge on election day for people voting for Donald Trump. This does not bode well at all for who? Clinton, as well as Democrat candidates for the House and the Senate. And for new listeners, you can go to prankpops.wordpress.com. That's prankpops, prankpops.wordpress.com, and listen to my show. It's right under my photograph. You'll see links to the last 60 to 80 shows. I'm bringing this to your attention because I have, not all, but a lot of my show prep I include on pages, and it relates to the stories that I'm covering. And I usually add information. It can be cartoons. It can be articles, photographs. So if you're new to the show, definitely check that out. Sometimes I forget or it's way late in the show. This time I'm doing it early. Now, if you're a new listener, you need to understand, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. Now, I'm saying that because some of you are going to say, well, he's just a Republican for Trump. No, I'm not voting. I'm deliberately, intentionally not voting. Why? I want real change, because if we don't have real change, it's not going to end well. Today, the problem facing America today is government spending is out of control. And neither political party, the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, are dealing with the problem. And even if Donald Trump is elected, and I stand by my long-term prediction that he would be, I made this months ago because I never underestimated Donald Trump, although many, many people thought by now, many people thought he was a clown. That's the common term, and he wouldn't last but a couple of weeks. I never thought that. It was clear to me that he thought about it for a long time. He knows how to handle, some would say, manipulate the press. And if you get in his face, he gets in yours. And that's my attitude, too. The way he describes it, if you punch me, I'm going to punch back. See, I'm from New York City as well. And I understand the Donald Trumps of this world. And if you're from New York, especially New York City, most of those people are Democrats. Most of them are liberal. And I've never been a Democrat, never been a liberal, because I'm a classical liberal that believes in limited government. And that has nothing to do with being a liberal. A liberal, and unfortunately more and more conservative today, means bigger and bigger and bigger government. The only way the United States is going to go back to a more prosperous nation is we have to downsize the federal government, and neither party want to do that. That's why until we get a brand new, successful national party that runs candidates locally, city, county, state, as well as nationally for the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and it's a successful party that believes in limited government, believes in a representative American republic under the United States Constitution, and we run candidates of integrity, nothing fundamental is going to change in Washington, D.C. Politicians of both parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, are beholden to donors who, and I'm not talking the small campaign contributions, I'm talking the donor class, and those consist largely of the owners of this country, the executives that run their companies, the multimillionaires, the billionaires that buy and pay or rent politicians. And both parties are beholden and need that financial support to run. And the incumbent advantage is huge in this country. Once you get elected, whether it's the House or the Senate, it's very difficult for you to be unseated unless you really do something fundamentally wrong and get caught at it. And most of them go along to get along, and they go with whatever the leadership of the party wants. You have what I call the career politicians. They're making a career out of that, so you don't see much change. I'm not saying there's no change, but not fundamental, necessary change that we need now, and we're in, unfortunately, it's getting worse and worse. In 8 years, Barack Obama will have increased the national debt with the assistance of both the Democratic and the Republican Party by 10. There's no urgency to correct the situation. And as more and more of the baby boom generation retires, that means more and more people qualify for Social Security and Medicare. So these deficits are not anytime soon going to turn around. We need to really close permanently many of the federal departments and agencies, shut down programs, and no one's talking about it. That's what needs to be done. That's just a first step, though, because where's the big money? The big money is entitlement programs and welfare programs, and to some extent, defense, although the fence has been cut. So until we have that successful, viable new party, it'll be primarily independents. That will be the core group, and most of those people are former Democrats, former Republicans that have seen that the American people have been sold out by the likes of Hillary Clinton. Now, what I want to do on a more positive note is go over a speech that Donald Trump presented on Obamacare. I'm scrolling down to find it. I believe this is it. I'm not going to give any of the introductions. I'm going to cut to the chase and go right into Donald Trump's speech on Obamacare.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I would like to thank my incredible running mate, Governor Mike Pence. Thank you, and I love you too. We have a lot of very enthused and excited people in this campaign, so I really do thank all of you. I would like to thank my incredible running mate, Mike Pence, on the tremendous job he's done, and he's a fantastic leader and a leader on healthcare issues, and to have him involved is just my very great honor, believe me. I'd also like to thank Dr. Ben Carson. Not only a great man, and I don't say that about a lot of people, but one of the toughest competitors I've ever faced. People don't know how well he did during those primaries. And I just kept looking back, and I just kept seeing him. And boy, I'll tell you. But even more importantly, he is a brilliant physician. And I hope he will be very much involved with my administration in the coming years. Okay. Thank you. I'd also like to recognize the distinguished members of Congress in attendance who have all been at the forefront of health care and have been so helpful to me. Congresswomen Elmers, Loomis, Congressman Price Harris, Burgess, and Desjarlais. And let me give a special thanks to Senator Barrasso, a terrific doctor, a Senate leader, who did incredible work chairing our platform committee. Just unbelievable work. So I want to thank you very much, Senator. Fantastic job. And been very, very loyal to what we're doing and what we represent. So thank you, Senator. When we win on November 8th, and elect a Republican Congress, we will be able to immediately repeal and replace Obamacare. Have to do it. I will ask Congress to convene a special session so we can repeal and replace. And it will be such an honor for me, for you, and for everybody in this country, because Obamacare has to be replaced. And we will do it, and we will do it very, very quickly. It is a catastrophe. The president said, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, which may go down as one of the great political lies of the century. Even the skeptical Democrats believed him and approved the legislation. There were Democrats that were very much against it, but they believed him and they approved it. No one ever read, or certainly very few people, the 2,700-page bill. To this day, nobody understands it. The Obama administration has just announced massive double-digit and triple-digit Obamacare premium hikes everywhere, all throughout the country. Here in Pennsylvania, premiums are going to increase more than 60%. And that's nothing compared to what will happen in the future. Of course, in the future, if I'm president, there won't be Obamacare, so you won't have to worry about it. That means parents won't have enough money to pay their bills or get medicine for their kids. In the great state of Arizona, a wonderful place I just left, premiums will go up even higher than 116%. Other states are going up more than 60, 70, 80, 90%. Deductibles can go to $12,000, $13,000, $14,000, even $15,000. In other words, your health care won't even be usable. You're paying all this money. You won't even get to use it. People all across the country are devastated. In many instances, their health care costs are more than their mortgage costs or their rent, which, by the way, is a first in American history. This is particularly unfair to millennials and younger Americans generally, who will be totally crushed by these massive health care costs before they even get started on their journey through life. One-third of the counties, think of this, one-third of the counties in Pennsylvania will have only a single insurance company left, if you have that. That includes Philadelphia, where I went to school. The Associated Press found that some of the 440,000 Pennsylvania consumers who buy insurance through healthcare.gov will face some of the highest premium increases in the nation, the people of Philadelphia. Insurers are leaving, premiums are soaring, doctors are quitting, companies are fleeing, and deductibles go through the roof. Workers' hours are being cut, hiring is frozen, totally frozen, and wages are being slashed. Obamacare means higher prices, fewer choices, and lower quality.
I'm going to interrupt here. Donald Trump is summarizing the situation with Obamacare. This was entirely, completely predictable. Why? What did the Democratic Party want to do? They wanted this to fail. They wanted this to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Why? They want to go to socialized medicine. Now, they won't call it socialized medicine. They call it single-payer universal coverage. Single-payer. Who's the single-payer? You are. You are the single-payer, but you have to pay it in taxes, and the government pays the bill. The government controls your access to health care. They don't want competition. They want a monopoly, and they want control over your lives. And where they can control your access to medical care, they have you, or many of you, unless you're quite wealthy. The very wealthy, they don't really care if they go to a single-payer universal plan, because they can get medical coverage anywhere in the world and pay for it out of the chump change in their pants pocket or wallet or purse. It is only the hardworking Americans who will have, in essence, no choice. You're a captive. You can't go to the doctor of your choice, anymore. That's where they want you. The American people didn't want Obamacare. It was crammed down the throat of the American people, and now it's coming right back up. I'm glad Donald Trump is zeroing in on this issue, and I'm glad he's pointing out that he will call a special session to repeal and replace Obamacare. We need to get back to a free enterprise market system where you have choice as a consumer, and where you have competition for health insurance, as well as competition for where you have competition as to the doctor of your choice, the hospital of your choice, and other medical providers. And that's the way it used to be, until we had the interventionists, the progressive politicians of the Democratic Party. They wanted universal or single payer. What they wanted is socialized medicine, where everyone has the same plan. It's equality. That's not the American way. You work hard, you earn money, you should decide how you spend your money, including what medical plan, insurance plan, health insurance plan you get, as well as what doctor or hospital you go to. They want a government monopoly. The American people don't. And that's why this issue is very timely. The speech is very timely, because it's happening right before Election Day. So I'm glad Donald Trump is making the speech. Let's get back to it.
Hillary Clinton to expand Obamacare and make it even more expensive. She wants to put the government totally in charge of health care in America. If we don't repeal and replace Obamacare, we will destroy American health care forever. It's one of the single most important reasons why we must win on November 8th. We must win. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Our replacement plan includes health savings accounts, a nationwide insurance market where you can purchase across state lines, and letting states manage Medicaid dollars. So much better. We will create quality, reliable, affordable health care in a free market where parents can make the health care decisions that they really want to make for their families. It will be a much better health care at a much less expensive cost. We've also outlined detailed solutions on so many other issues to make life better for every American family. And while this is really, thank you, while this is really a meeting, and that's what it is, it's a meeting of very, very special people, and I appreciate you all being here, but it's a meeting talking about health care and Obamacare. Our plan for other things also include the bringing back of manufacturing jobs. We have to do it. We're going to bring back our manufacturing. We're going to bring back our jobs that form the backbone of the American middle class and our country as a whole. Our jobs are being stolen. Pennsylvania has lost almost 40% of its manufacturing jobs since NAFTA, a deal signed by Bill Clinton and supported by Hillary Clinton. The city of Philadelphia has lost more than one-third of its manufacturing jobs since China joined the World Trade Organization, another Bill and Hillary-backed disaster. A Trump administration will renegotiate NAFTA, believe me. And we have the greatest negotiators in the world. We will use our great negotiators. We'll have a fair deal, but we'll have a deal that goes in two directions, not one direction, right into Mexico and these other places. And stand up to foreign product dumping, currency manipulation, and unfair subsidy behavior. We are going to bring manufacturing jobs, lots of jobs, back to Pennsylvania. We're going to do it. And it won't even be difficult. We're going to open modern mines and take care of our great miners. Our miners have been mistreated horribly. We will be producing clean coal, oil, natural gas, and shale energy. We're also bringing back our steelworkers who have been so badly hurt, whose jobs have been stolen by the dumping of steel all over this state and, frankly, all over this country by China and other countries.
This speech is taking place in Valley Forge in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, I would watch Pennsylvania, of all the states, come next Tuesday. If Pennsylvania votes for Trump, and I think they should, but historically there have been many Republican candidates that were tempted to go after the Pennsylvania voters and have failed. It's an important battleground swing state. If Donald Trump gets the votes of the Pennsylvanians and gets the majority of the votes, he will be our next president. Up until really today, I was of the opinion, and I was talking to someone on the staff here, and I didn't know his opinion, but he said this to me: I think Donald Trump's going to win the popular vote. I said, I agree with you. I think he is. But he's going to lose the electoral vote. And I said, well, up until today, I would have agreed with you. But what's happening? If you look at the polls, there's been a radical drop in Hillary Clinton's popularity, mainly because of both Obamacare, WikiLeaks, the Project Veritas videos. But now the public corruption of selling her office is becoming apparent to everybody. She's not only damaged goods, she's corrupt goods. And American people don't believe anyone is above the law, and why some people will vote for anybody, including a crook, to be our next president. There are many law-abiding Democrats as well as Republicans that would never vote for Hillary Clinton because she is facing indictments. Now, it requires the Republicans to take the presidency to get her indicted. But the evidence is there. What is happening is the political fix is in. Both the White House, the president through Valerie Jarrett, as well as various political appointments in the Justice Department, are trying to prevent that evidence surfacing before the election. But that dam is broken. The FBI is doing extensive investigations, not only on the email server, but also, and more importantly, the public corruption crimes committed by Hillary and Bill Clinton. There is already a large body of evidence that has been collected, but to make the case, you need to have a grand jury and present the evidence to the grand jury and then indict. The Justice Department is the only one that can do that, and the political appointees, some of them, not all of them, but some of them are trying to block the disclosure of this evidence before the election. They're engaged in, and they've crossed the line, and their activities hopefully will be examined in an obstruction of justice, which is a crime. So I hope Donald Trump wins. I think now he has a definite pathway to 270 electoral votes. It's going to be close in terms of the Electoral College. But if he carries Pennsylvania, and that's why Pennsylvania is important, I think he'll win. That's why if you're going to stay up on an election evening, it'll be late. But if Pennsylvania is called for Trump, I suspect it'll be around 11 o'clock Central Time, midnight on the East Coast. But if it's call for Trump, I think what you're seeing here is the makings of a landslide victory, similar to Ronald Reagan's victory over Jimmy Carter in 1980. I don't think he's going to in any way come close to that. I don't expect him to get over 300, but it looks like there's been a flip-flop in the, or ultimately will be a flip-flop, where Hillary Clinton, up until last Friday, was running consistently above 300 in terms of the Electoral College, people making predictions of which state she would carry. I think it's very conceivable that Donald Trump could get as many as 300, in which case he's clearly the winner, and that's one big switch from where Hillary Clinton is at 300 and now Donald Trump is at 300. Remember, you only need 270. So I point out Donald Trump needs to win Pennsylvania, but right now he looks like he's leading for sure in Florida and in Ohio. I think it's too close to call in North Carolina. But a win in Pennsylvania mean we have a very close race. Not so much in the popular vote. I think Donald Trump will win the popular vote, but question is, will he get to 270? So Pennsylvania is critical, and I wanted to put a little context as to both where he's making the speech and why he's talking about coal, energy, and steel.
Nobody has been treated worse than these workers, but that will change on January 20th of next year, believe me. It will change. We're also going to provide the children of the state with school choice, so important. That means parents can spend and take care of their children, but they can send their kids to public school, to private, to charter, to magnet, to religious, or to homeschool. It's going to be their right. And it's going to be something that's so, so good for your children and for the education of your children. We will also totally eliminate Common Core and bring education local. We're going to bring it local.
This should have been done 50 years ago. Milton Friedman recommended this many years ago, that parents have a voucher and let the parents decide what school their children will go to. The problem has been that we've spent more and more and more money on K through 12 as the results got worse, worse, and worse. The answer is not throwing money, or the way the Democrats call it, we need to invest in education. What they're really talking about is more and more and more government spending for education. You want competition. You don't want a monopoly or a local monopoly where, except for the well-off, your only choice is so-called public school. It's not public. It's a government school. Parents should be given a voucher, and that introduces what? Competition. Again, if you want to send your children to public school, and many public schools are outstanding. I went to public schools, but it was a long time ago. Parents should have that voucher and be free. It's not going to be money in their pocket, except when they're homeschooling, but even there's some procedures on that. You want competition. Competition is not a cure-all, but it's a long way towards much better results, where instead of graduating and giving high school diplomas for people that simply are not reading or doing math at a 12th grade level, many are at an 8th grade level, and they're not going to get any better. They're going to stay there. Where you notice your child is simply not learning, you can take your children out of that school and put it in a better school. And if you want to supplement the voucher with your own money, you're free to do that. So I applaud this change in education that Donald Trump wants. And see, it's the same principle in healthcare. We want competition. The Democratic Party doesn't want competition. They want a government monopoly, not only in education, but also in medical care. And we've seen where that has led. Think of the Veterans Administration. I want veterans to have outstanding care. What I really want them to have is the ability to go to any doctor or hospital by having an outstanding health insurance policy. It's similar to a voucher. So I applaud Donald Trump in bringing this to the attention of the American people.
true. People do not like Common Core in this country, that I can tell. And our system is failing, so it's obviously not working. We're going to eliminate Common Core. We're going to bring it local. Our tax plan will provide a 35% tax cut to middle-class families with two kids. As an example, you have two kids, 35% cut, so desperately needed. Our middle class has not been properly respected, that I can tell you. We will let parents deduct child care expenses from their taxes and create tax-free child care and elder care savings accounts with matching contributions for low-income families. We will eliminate the Obama-Clinton defense sequester and rebuild our badly depleted military. When did we ever need it more?
I need to interject here. I believe that Donald Trump's tax plan is definitely going in the right direction. And the biggest change is cutting of the corporate rate down to 15%. And remember, you pay that tax. Now, some people will say, why should the rich, why should the corporations get a tax cut? You're getting a tax cut. Where do you think those corporate taxes are? They're in the prices of the goods and services that you buy. So that benefits you directly. And I wish he would spend a little time pointing that out, because a lot of people don't understand that. They say that's just letting those corporate fat cats off. It's a tax cut for the rich. That's what the Democrats like to say. No, it's a tax cut for you and me, because that means the prices of goods and services should fall. Not immediately, but will fall. Because what corporations, businesses do, they pass along all those taxes. That means you pay for them. And we had the highest tax rate, 39% on corporations, and we simply weren't competitive. Now we at least will be competitive. And because of those high tax rates, what was happening? Businesses were leaving this country and have been leaving this country. We don't want that. We want them to stay. We want them to have the best tax system in the world, and that's where I differ with Donald Trump. And that's why it's going to take another political party to fundamentally change what we have. Today, our tax system is an income tax-based system. It's been in existence for over 100 years. When it was put in 1913, when the amendment, 16th Amendment, was approved by the states, it was to sock it to the rich. About 97% of the people did not pay income taxes. Not anymore, because what quickly happened over the last 100 years, and it's been going on and unfortunately will continue to go on until we get rid of it, is presidents, especially when they're Democratic presidents, have done what? They've increased the number of tax brackets, but what they've really done is increase the tax rates. At one time, it was above 90%. So depending on which political party was in power and control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, it creates a situation where individuals as well as businesses can't plan their future. They don't really know what the tax situation will be in the future. Depends who's in political power and what they want to do. Donald Trump obviously wants to cut the corporate rate, bring it down to a much competitive rate of 15%. That's what I say. He's doing the right thing and he's going in the right direction. But it simply is not bold enough. Frankly, I think it's timid. Now, compared to Hillary Clinton, who wants to go the wrong way and increase taxes, it's terrific. And compared to the existing tax system, it's terrific. What he should do, and I don't have time to get into it, I'm looking at the clock, because I've given many shows on it. We need to quickly replace all federal taxes. That's income taxes, both corporate and individual, payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, capital gains taxes, alternative minimum taxes, estate and gift taxes, abolish them. In other words, we're not going to have any longer this outdated income tax that cost, just to fill out the returns, comply with the law, over $500 billion per year and going up. I remember not too long ago, it was $200 billion, but it's gone up, up, and up because the Internal Revenue Code and its regulations, and their thousands, tens of thousands of pages of regulations, have made it incomprehensible. No one understands it. It's too complicated. Costs way too much money to simply comply with it. That's what that $500 billion is, its compliant cost. That's, right off the bat, a good reason in and of itself to do away with it. And then by doing away with the Internal Revenue Code and the regulations, you don't need a very large Internal Revenue Service. As a matter of fact, you should abolish the Internal Revenue Service. Now, you're going to need to replace it with a tax to pay for government. That, unfortunately, is huge and needs to be downsized. But economists have been studying this for decades. And I'm in the camp that says we should transition to a broad-based consumption tax, similar to the fare tax. That has been studied and researched and has supporters in the House and the Senate and has support amongst the American people. I have my own version of it. I call it fare tax less. That has a slightly lower rate as well as a significantly higher prebate. The fare tax has a rate of 23%. My fare tax less has a rate of 20%. But the big difference is the fare tax has prebates that are tied to the poverty level. And quite frankly, you can't easily explain it without a chart. My fare tax less is a version. It's based on the fare tax. It's a broad-based consumption tax. And this is what you need to understand. You need every adult American 18 years or older would get a tax prebate, a check every month from the government for $1,000. Now, that's not a subsidy. That's not another welfare program. It's a tax prebate to pay for the taxes on the essential goods and services that people need, the necessities of life. So if it was $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year, and you spent $60,000 or less, you would be paying no taxes, because the prebate would offset the 20% tax that everyone pays when they go to the cash register. Most Americans, when they hear that, like it. But keep in mind, once you start spending over that $60,000 level, just like before, you'd have to pay a 20% tax. You would be paying a tax on any new good or service that you buy. That is a thumbnail sketch of my fare tax less, based on the fare tax, which is one version of a broad-based consumption tax. And at one time, Mike Pence was for the fare tax. That is what should and hopefully will be done sometime in a Trump or Pence administration. The sooner we do it, the better. Because by doing it, we would immediately, the economic consequences is that investment from around the world, including U.S. corporations that have businesses abroad and have funds from the profits of those businesses, would turn around and invest their money back into the United States. The United States would be where you would want to locate a new plant or a new business. And it would make America great again, and it will be quicker, much quicker than anything else. So we do have, and I do have differences with Mr. Trump, but give him time. Now back to Mr. Trump.
Greatest people on earth in our military, but it's badly depleted. Thank you. People love this country, don't they? Isn't it beautiful, right? Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to watch and to see, and I see it all over the country, no matter where we go. And every time I say we are going to rebuild our depleted military, it's always the same response. It's an incredible response. Our Navy is the smallest it's been since World War I. Think of that. Smallest since World War I. And rebuilding it will require a national effort. That's why I will ask my Secretary of the Navy to review facilities like the Philadelphia Navy Yard, I know it well, with a long history of service to our Navy, proximity to vibrant private industry, and room for expansion to enlist them in the rebuilding of what will be a great fleet again. To recruit master craftsmen, this buildup requires, and we will establish, centers of excellence at locations like the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Vocational training is a great thing. We don't do it anymore. We don't do it anymore. And I must tell you, so often in going to college right down the road, in going to college, we'd have people that were brilliant, and we'd had other people that weren't as brilliant in that way, but were brilliant, incredible, when it came to fixing a motor, when it came to fixing something that I had no idea what was happening, and other great geniuses had no idea what was happening, and they could take it apart blindfolded. And we don't do that anymore. Vocational training for our country is so, so, so important.
I can't agree more with Mr. Trump. There are some nations, Germany's the one that sticks out, that do have very good vocational training that leads to apprenticeship, it leads to a career. It's for people that have that aptitude. I don't have that aptitude. I'm very good in terms, I'm overeducated, but I'm good in the college or academic environment. I'm terrible in terms of fixing something. And the reason is I've never had the training or the inclination, but there are people that can do that, have that inclination. Yesterday, I noticed, because there was no water coming out, and I said, uh-oh, probably another apartment they're doing plumbing work, and that's exactly what was happening. You need plumbers to repair whatever the problem is, a leak or whatever. You need mechanics. You need air. We're in Texas. You need air conditioner repairmen. You need welders. And there's a long list. All require training, experience. They're good paying jobs. And we have some vocational training out there, but it's really not being emphasized enough. Because not everybody wants to go to college or should go to college, but they need to earn a living, and they can earn a good living by learning a trade or vocation, whatever your choice is. You know, I've had, and I'm sure you identify this, you could have a problem with your car and you need your car to go to work or go to school. You have to take it to a mechanic, and hopefully you have a good one. I have several good ones, and they know what they're doing. They have no ambition, desire to go to college, but they're good with their hands and fixing and finding the problem, and people will pay good money for it. And we need to strengthen that more than anything else. Let's get back to Mr. Trump.
And just in closing that, and they loved it. They loved it. They didn't want to be doing what I was doing. They loved it. They were so good at it, and they loved it. So vocational training, we're going to start it up big league. We will rebuild our military, and we will rebuild our country. I'm not a politician. My only special interest is you, the American people. That's why I've done it.
I'm glad he emphasized that, because Mr. Trump is an outsider. He's not a career politician. He's not a member of the Democratic Club or the Republican Club in the sense of working their way up and spending years, decades, either in the House or the Senate or in local politics. And today, most politicians, unfortunately, spend many decades. And the problem with that, they become disconnected from what the American people, what their concerns are, what their interests are. And that's what's happening. Remember, the reason that Trump really has got the nomination, as far as I'm concerned, is he made immigration policy center stage of his run for the Republican nomination. Because the American people want the invasion of this country by illegal aliens stopped. They want immigration law enforced. And both Republican presidents, such as George W. Bush, as well as Democratic presidents, such as Barack Obama, what they want is what the owners of this country want. They want open borders. They don't want to roll back the invasion that to now somewhere between 30 and 50 million illegal aliens are living and working here. Now, not all of them are working. You have children, you have their wives, but at least 20 to 30 million are working here. And because they're working here, they're competing with Americans, citizens that were born and raised here. It's not right. In any other country, immigration laws enforced. The United States is the most generous country in terms of legal immigration. Over 1 million individuals each year come to the United States and get first a work permit and then a green card on their way to citizenship. What the Obama administration or Clinton administration wants are open borders. They don't want immigration law enforced. That they always say comprehensive or common sense immigration reform. What that means is to legalize all the illegal aliens that are here that have broken the laws of this nation when they entered by not presenting their papers and then getting illegal fraudulent documents so they could get a job. And that is a crime. You don't have a legal status. You can't legally work here unless you have the status to work here. And they don't. And then the employer, in turn, is enabling this to happen because he's hiring them. I'm waiting to see whether Donald Trump will not only deliver on his wall, which I think he will, but whether or not he will, in point of fact, enforce immigration law by deporting the 30 to 50 million that are here. And this is where I have a concern about Mr. Trump, and it concerns trust. I'm afraid he will go along with the Republican Party leadership that for a long time have favored what's called touchback amnesty, where the illegal alien that are here have to go home to whatever their country of origin is, stay for a period of time, and then get a visa back. And Trump has indicated when he was running for the nomination that it would be an expedited visa process. That doesn't make any sense. What the American people want are the illegal aliens to leave on their own and make it difficult, if not impossible, to get a job here, and certainly not be educating your children in schools that taxpayers had to pay for in our hospitals. So I'm waiting to see, should Donald Trump get elected, will he come through and fulfill his promises or not? The American people want immigration law enforced. That is not an extreme request. But the Democratic Party and the donor class, they don't want that. They want cheap, compliant labor. And that's why the average wage of most households has gone down, down, and down, either flattened out or gone down. And the reason's not hard to understand. For the last 15 to 20 years, on average, about 3 million or more per year have been coming here illegally. And that adds up. And they compete with you, your sons, your daughters, and your grandchildren every day. The American people should come first, not illegal aliens. And I hope Donald Trump mentions it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. The guiding rule of the political class in Washington, D.C., is that they are looking out only for themselves. Only for themselves, with the exception of these few people. I feel guilty as I'm looking. They're staring me in the eyes. So I have to say, with these exceptions. They will say anything and do anything and cling to their power and prestige at your expense. I'm running to change and reverse decades of failure and to work with the American people to create generations of success. I'm running. Thank you. I'm running to restore honesty to our government and safety to our communities. We need safety. And by the way, our law enforcement officials, these are great, great people. Thank you. And we are going to give great prosperity to our economy. I want to go into our poorest communities and work on a national plan of revitalization, the inner cities. And I've been working with so many African American groups. These are such incredible people. We've been talking about it, working on it. We're going to bring jobs into the inner cities. We're going to bring safety. We're going to bring education, good, good schools into the inner city. The spirit of the people in the inner cities is beyond the spirit of anybody. And it's going to work. It's going to work. You watch. Americans are tired of being told to defer their dreams to another day. But politicians, for the most part, really mean another decade, because that's what they're talking about. Enough waiting. Time is now. But to accomplish our goals, we must cut our ties with the small, bitter, petty politics of the past. We must declare our independence from a failed establishment that has squandered $6 trillion on foreign wars in the Middle East that never end, that we never win, and that have made us far less safe. Think of it. Think of all the money that's spent, all the lives that have been lost, and we're far less safe today than we were before we started. They've left our borders wide open at home and shipped our jobs and wealth to other countries. It's time for new leadership. I've led a great life, and I truly love our country. So now I want to give back to the country that's been so good to me. That's why I'm doing this.
Any candidate for president has to answer that question. And I think Donald Trump has given an excellent answer. He's a leader. He has a vision. And no individual is going to agree with you. But if he can get about 80% or more right, then he deserves your vote. I think the Reagan Democrats, the Reagan Republicans, conservatives, as well as the libertarians, and many classical liberals, can and will and should vote for Donald Trump. He's not the perfect candidate. He wasn't my first, second, or third choice. But today you have only two really choices, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. I don't think it's a contest, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. Donald Trump is a leader, a communicator. He has a vision, and he means to get results. Compare that with Hillary Clinton, who is very much crooked or corrupt. A long, long history of scandals and lying about them. She was an incompetent Secretary of State that encouraged the Obama administration to intervene unilaterally into Libya, and now Libya is in chaos, and the United States had to abandon its embassy in Tripoli, Libya. The Middle East is unstable, and Donald Trump is, I think, clearly where his heart is. He's not for intervening in country after country. He's not, does not want the United States to continue to be policeman of the world. In other words, he's not a neoconservative, and we have that in the Republican Party. And they're not new, and they're not conservatives. They're interventionists. They're warmongers. And the price of that intervening is increasing the national debt by trillions of dollars. So let's hear the final part of Donald Trump's speech.
All I see everywhere I travel in this nation, and I've been everywhere, is untapped potential waiting to be realized. The people are amazing. The people are amazing. If we unlock the potential of this country, and it's incredible, people, no dream is outside of our reach. If we stop believing in our failed politicians and start believing in ourselves, then anything, anything is possible. I'm asking you to dream big, to push for bold change, and to believe in a movement powered by our love for each other and our love for our country. That is how we will truly make America great again. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. Thank you.
That was Donald Trump giving a speech in Pennsylvania, a critical state that he has to win next Tuesday, and I think he will. And if he does, he will be our next president. The focus on the speech was on Obamacare, and it's no secret the Republicans in Congress have had vote after vote. The problem is they don't have the presidency, but if they have the presidency, Obamacare will be repealed and replaced as it should be, because the majority of the American people don't like it, and they really don't like it after they see the horrendous, huge increases in their monthly premium and even greater deductibles that were already too high. And because they were so high, many people simply can't afford the deductible. They can't pay the deductible, so they don't have care. What good is it to have a card that you paid a lot of premium for when the deductibles are too high? It was meant to be that way. The Democratic Party did this to you on purpose. Why? They want to replace it with a government-controlled, single-payer, universal plan, socialized medicine. Don't let them get away with it. And I don't think the American people will. So thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.